times we live in that we can,
technology is definitely a double-edged sword, but it's a great time that we can enjoy resources like that. Before I get too ahead of myself, Chris, do you mind praying for this?
Dear Father, just thank you for all the people who've gathered together in your house. And just be with the preacher and the words of your Bible. Amen.
Thank you. So along the realm of the resources that we have available today, an online Pure Cambridge text, there's an interesting article posted last week about the two verses that you know. You'll read through a proverb and two of those verses might stick out at you and you're like, oh yeah, that really makes sense to me. And you'll get discouraged because there might be 30 more verses that you're missing. But God is using those to show you, here's what you need to work on today. Use what I'm giving you today. And so that was, in a nutshell, what Pastor Asquith was saying, and what I'm hoping to exercise today is just a little more faith in God through this message today. So what can you do with the two verses you know? So I'm going to be relying more heavily on the scripture than stories or anecdotes or times in my past than previously done. So if in those verses, if you get bogged down and go through 30 verses and only two of them speak to you, hold tight to those. Those are what God would have you to use. So like we talk about a double-edged sword, the holidays are certainly seem that way to me. My experience has been one of contrition and then exuberance and joy. Even the weather seemed to be depressing these last 2 weeks, and Lily can attest that there's just something off about Dad this past week. But we look to the birth of Christ today and what He's done for us, and it is a joyous occasion and something that we can fellowship in, and that's what I'd like to focus on today's the nutshell of today's message is the fellowship of what's offered in this Bible. So there are five occurrences of the phrase fellowship of, and we're going to look at all five of them with God's help. But as we look through those, I want to lay a little groundwork and say that we'll see a recurring theme of the word fellowship, obviously, but also gift and grace are going to be used quite a bit throughout these verses. So I just want to take a minute to talk about gift. What do we mean by that? Well, it's pretty common practice, especially this time you are given something and you can choose to receive it, or you can say, no, that's too gracious. And that's the second word that we'll be looking at is grace. And grace is really, it's hard to define it justly. I can say that it's a gift that's over and above what you would think, but it falls short of what grace is. So I just like Brother Ford did, I asked my wife to give me part of this message. So we were talking what is grace to you? Because I myself jump to like gratuity. Like this meal cost $10. I'm gonna give a $2 tip. Right? That was gratuity. That's gracious of. Isn't that gracious of me? Her story is much more biblical, and she talked about a time when we were started coming to church, and I didn't I fell short of I was attracted to the wrong parts of Tiffany, and she would wear clothing that was worldly. Pastor Asa talked about the mini skirts and the halter tops, and she wasn't quite there. But to fast forward to what her example of grace, so she was talking about the times that she would wear clothing that wasn't church appropriate here, and Mrs. Hayne would sit behind her, and the grace that she poured out, and just sharing with Tiffany what was going on with the kids as they're growing up, and how gracious she was not to cast darts about, I can't believe you're wearing this. How can you pull it? Can you pull that skirt down, or she created, so Mrs. Hayne created a safe spot where Christ could be fully formed in her. And that's that does a much better job of defining grace. So if you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 3, we're going to look at that grace, the grace and the fellowship that's offered in our church, which is kind of unique. I know that there's a few new people here, but there's one person in particular that my heart's going out to that's using the web streaming to look at this probably on her lunch break. So I'm kind of getting into a basic of the church that a lot of people, it's going to be old hat to, but the idea is that you need a safe place where you can seek God to jump off of Brother Ford's an opportunity for you to give God an honest chance. And there are a lot of things against you today. And
that's right.
It was most prevalent in the idea of evolution. For me, I could start reading this Bible, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, how does this play into the Big Bang, or like what is like? I had a lot of information from another book that I was trying to filter through this book. When you take the Bible, the few verses that you know, that you can know them by their fruits. So you look at, okay, what is the byproduct of evolution and survival of the fittest mentality? It's very cold. It's very dollars and cents. It's very spreadsheet oriented. Are you performing enough for the common good, or do we need to relocate you to some camp or someplace where you can be of use? So it's I'm going to look at Ephesians 3, and I'm in verse 9. This will be the point of the text, and I'm hoping that with the verses that we're able to look at, that this might be a tool, a pattern for you to be able to further your study of the Bible. So the verse that I'm interested in is verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And we'll just, so, well, that verse struck me as interesting, and we're looking at the fellowship, so we'll just back up a few verses, maybe maybe from verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. So this is who is speaking in this instance. We know that now. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. To you word is an interesting, it's a good King James word. It's more sharp than a modern, that would be taken out of a modern version because it isn't used amongst our peers, contemporary. You wouldn't say that. So you calling up your brother, you wouldn't use that word. But to you word, I get the visual of, like, it's probably easiest to understand from the idea of what toward you is. Toward you could be like me throwing something at Bob here. If I threw something toward Bob, it might go over him, it might go under him. Taryn's played football with me, knows it's probably not going to hit Bob. But to you word is, I'm a very visual person, so bear with me. I rely a lot on old TV shows. So there's an old TV show called CSI, and in the intro they would have this plate of meat, and they hit it with a crowbar, and blood splattered everywhere, right? To you word, it hit you and left like an outline. Okay, there's the guy at the murder scene, and then like everybody else that was there, so you could tell. And that's how God's word is being spread. It's able to hit my mom and skip through Tiffany, or it's able to hit all the whole everyone in that direction. To you word, a good word. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. For those that weren't able to come last week, Brother Lenny made a great point about, or he answered the question correctly, that much of these letters of Paul are written from prison, that he's been made low, a former ruler in Israel made low, and it grips me, like, out of our abundance. I was looking at our foyer, and I've got like these obsessive compulsive inconsistencies, I'll call them. For some things are really important to me and some things aren't, but I'll let a lot go, but then like these shoes are all here. And the idea of abundance though, Victor's got snow shoes, he's got athletic shoes, he's got a casual little shoe, and like that's pretty common amongst us as Americans, that growing up we've got it good, and we might not look at that as abundant, but I think of a mailer we got that said that something like 70% of the world's population don't have shoes. So like, we've got it good, and Paul counts himself least of all the saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation. We're being invited into this fellowship to know Jesus Christ and as the Creator. I'm just going to read some verses in the interest of time. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1 John 1:1, that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have held of the Word of life. And Genesis 1:1, or the first three verses in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was all upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So all of that is brought low in the baby Jesus that would grow to be a man and teach us a great many things, and teach our apostles the inner workings of God, and that we're invited into that through reading and studying of His Word. The next instance of fellowship we'll find in Philippians 3:10. These actually aren't in like a specific, they're just in an order I thought made sense to present them in. They're not in any order that would make sense to anybody else. So the next one that I would like to look at is in Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3, and I'm looking in verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is kind of the verses, I would say this is the hardest. This is like the one I'm most intimidated by. So let's. Let me just back up to the verse 4. This is Paul speaking, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. I'll stop there and say that it's very easy for us as parents to live vicariously through our kids, to say like, well, I didn't have this or that growing up, but you've got it. I've got the line on it. Like, you're set up for success, but I'm not gonna be able to attain what you have. But that's not so, that that God can shine through you regardless of your stock or your heritage, what your parents, what your upbringing was. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I read persecuting the church and I think like it's like you've hurdled, you've cattled all the bad people into one building, and because they're in a church now, they're supposed to be good, but persecuting the church, like those, they're just easy to they're easy targets because you've come into the doors, you accept, like, I'm not perfect, I need healing, and this needs to be a place of healing, so persecuting the church. But in Paul's day, that was a different time in the church represented the ruling body of the people. It was like the Senate, like the state legislature, the town board, if you will. It carried weight. You expected more of these church people, and Paul was willing to persecute them for not doing according to the law, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But that which were gain to me, though I counted loss for Christ, and if I could point to one verse and say that that's where the heaviness stems from, I think that's where it is that there's so much opulence, there's so much like fourth quarter push to like make budget and sell this and that, and this is what you need, and for four easy payments of this you can whatever you they're being peddled those things which would be loss for Christ. They're looking in all the wrong places. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ by my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And you said it better than I could have. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then our fellowship verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. It was probably put best that some would die for a worthy man, but Christ died for us, those condemned to hell, those that that the law would call dead, that they would already be dead in the eyes of the law. And we're invited into this fellowship to be conformable unto his death, to be dead to ourselves, to give of ourselves. It coincides quite nicely with Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and looking at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. It's hard to pick one thing to point at, like, oh, I'll put, this person puts this ahead of God, this person puts that ahead of God, this person puts that. It's hard to pick just one. It's so easy to look out at other people's problems and diagnose what's going, like, here's what they should do, but eventually you find a mirror, and it's broken mirror, because I can't see what's wrong. Can't see what's wrong with me. But that's what we're invited into is to die daily, to put God's needs ahead of ours. Verse 24 puts it best. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 8. In 2 Corinthians 8, I'm looking at verse 4, and this is going to be the next fellowship of. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So, Not a great transition between those two, but we've got giving to God in our last fellowship, and now we're going to be giving to the saints. And we'll just back up to the first verse in that chapter to look at it, to hopefully take a step back and then break through with more insight into the scripture. So chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So we kind of see that same transition where they gave themselves to the Lord, and now they're able to give to others. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now Titus is interesting. I'll save you looking there, but in verses 17 through 18, you find that what they're referring to is he's able to stay with them at that time. He's made a guest there. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion, for the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. One thing that sticks out to me, coming from not being able to give the Bible an honest look, having all these preconceived notions, the idea of God dying, it seemed like a conflict of definitions, a conflict of terms, that an eternal body could die, and it was so liberating to find that there are two definitions of death in the Bible, that there is a spiritual death, where you're separate from God, which is how you're born. So it's like the Coriolis effect. Supposedly the world's spinning and we should all be kind of like walking a little bit like this, right? But we're so accustomed to it that it's just life on earth. But so it's a gentle push, it's a gentle steering, a gentle pushing away from God, spiritually dead. And then there's the physical death that is is where I think that conflict of terms came. But the idea of Jesus choosing to become low, that he might pay for our sins. Thank God. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. And so we look at this, or the coming of the new year, this is very timely for this message. But what that verse is saying is that they've already spent a year trying to get this right, that some principles of the Bible to integrate in your life, they do take time. It's not like, oh, okay, I'm going to serve God to the best of my abilities. You know, not everything comes, like, Rome wasn't built in a day. The Christian walk is just that, it's a walk. So they've been working on this a year, but he's going to give them some more advice. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For this there be first a willing mind, and it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So within the realm of taking care of each other, the saints of God, the people in this church that have accepted Christ, and those that are willing to hear the word of God and are willing to give it a fair chance, to those people he's giving instruction on how to care for them. First, give of a willing mind. If you're for whatever reason this is on my heart, but there was a musical number the kids wanted to watch, and I was not of a willing heart to listen to a musical last week, so we didn't listen to it together. They listen to it on loop. So I got to listen to it from afar, but I did not watch it. I was not of a willing heart or a willing mind. So I did not meet that qualification. But if you are of a willing mind, there's still more contingencies, more things you need to check off the list. It is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So this is a call to be diligent with your resources. It's easiest to look at the checkbook in this example, but if you were to go back to verses 2 and 3, you'd find that what he's actually referring to is their prayer time. But in the idea of the checkbook, so you need to know what your needs are, right? What your needs are and what you've made, and then subtract the two and find what's left to give. And why do you need to know those things? Well, in verse 13, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. So you don't know when the hard times are going to come for your family, the water heater breaks, the pipes freeze, whatever's going on. You've put up store for that, and when you were able to give, you gave. Really like verse 15, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And that's one of those verses you can't, what's exactly being said here? As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing. So that person that actually picked up and brought to his house much, he had nothing over because he gave it. But he that gathered little had no lack. So where did that no lack come from? From the person that gathered little? It came from the person that was able to gather a lot. And as we're starting this new year, let me just say that what you're able to gather is not fixed. It's not, okay, I make $20,000 a year. That doesn't necessarily have to be a constant, and you don't need to be consistently year after year a person that gathered little. You can, that next year, you can be the person that gathered much and gave liberally, but what you need is God's insight. How can I give more of myself? How can I upskill? How can I change jobs? What can I do to be one that is able to take care of the needs of those that are not able to gather? But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. We'll go to the next instance of fellowship, which is in Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. In that first verse, it says, therefore, any consolation, and I haven't done a superb job of highlighting throughout the verses, so you'll have to go back and read up, but each one of these is prefaced by something that makes it evident that this fellowship that is being offered to you is a gift or a grace of God. And here in this verse, it's any consolation, like a I think of a consolation prize, like I was just good enough to get to state qualifiers for track, so I got a bunch of ribbons, and I'm like plastered my wall. Yeah, but they weren't the right color. They're supposed to be blue. Mine were green, which is fifth place, Taryn. It's not where you want to be. So consolation in Christ. So that's. If there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, so you're hearing these prayer requests on Wednesday, and that should be a fruit of this fellowship that you feel for the hip surgery coming up, or the blood pressure. Or blood sugar, these traveling mercies we hear a lot of. Any of those should stir in you bowels of mercy, and the question, like, what can we do to help ease that burden. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Three weeks ago, I'm looking at Brother Dale. I said something that I regret saying. I said that if you're pushing the envelope, you're bound to step on toes, and that was just like textbook me running a store, like move the profit needle, it was very callous, it was unchristian, God's been working with me quite a bit on being cognizant that you're not, it's not just how much you get. It's not how much you get done, but it's also how you did it. That you can't be upsetting your friends because you're Superman rushing to save Lois. All that vainglory, all that strife, it's for naught. God won't bless those things that you're doing. You might have the right idea. Your heart might be in the right place, but if you're not doing them in such a way that is considerate of other people, it's not going to please God. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying about prayer meeting. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And that's kind of a bitter pill to swallow. Like I might ask Peter, do you mind serving me? indefinitely. he's on the fence, right? But that's the example that Christ gave for us. He was made low to in the form of a servant. And verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And like all that, the powers, the awesome glory of God, being able to form all things, and he chose to become a man. And obedient unto death, that you and I might live. Pastor, I don't think we have time for the last fellowship of. It's in 1 Corinthians 1:9. But
perhaps quickly, and somewhere in the next month or so, we'll have you come up here and preach strictly on that, because that's probably the most important of all.
God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yes, sir.